Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Exchange Church Belfast on this Easter Sunday. Let me wish you all a very happy Easter. In fact, if we were in the room, I'd probably be saying something like, Christ is risen, and you'd be saying, He is risen indeed, or something like that. I think that's a Methodist thing. Maybe Helen Mills could help us with that this morning. But I just want to say it is fantastic to be with you this morning. And I pray that on this day, above you know all the days in our calendar, I just pray that you would know the grace and the love of Jesus this morning as we celebrate this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. You know, for me, this is, in terms of my faith and in terms of you know what I believe as a Christian today, this is the best day of the whole year for us, you know. It's the most important day for sure, because everything that we do as believers, everything that we do in church, everything that we do as people of faith in Jesus hinges on the reality of what we celebrate today, and that's the resurrection. I know, actually, Paul says it, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians 15:17. This was his reasoning when he said that if Christ has not been raised, our gospel is in vain. Your faith is in vain. We are found to be preaching a false gospel. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, so basically what he's saying to us this morning is that if what we're celebrating today didn't happen, then you might as well just switch off your TV right now, close down the internet, and get on with doing whatever you want to do, because we're all going to die anyway. That's what he says. So why would you waste your time on something which is a fraud? But you know, we know that today means so much more than that. And so as I speak to you this morning on this Easter Sunday, my prayer is that you will know the love and the grace of Jesus wherever you're sitting right now, that you would know today grace upon grace in your life. I pray that you will just feel the ministry and the touch of His Holy Spirit as He builds you up today. And He'll do that. I believe as you're listening right now that the Word of God, which is life and faith to you, I just pray that that would build you up in the good news of His finished work of grace. Now, when it comes to Easter, you know, we know all know the story so well, don't we? And we know it inside and out. And as I was, you know, reading, you know, in my own reading, my personal reading, just every day is, you know, just at Easter, obviously you read through Passion Week and you read through what Jesus is doing and what it's all heading towards. We do Good Friday and we think about the cross and the exchange like we did on Friday night. And there's one thing though, that when I looked at actually Easter Sunday, there was one line that jumped out at me, and I really want to encourage you with it today. And it really stopped me. Actually, and I just felt, Lord, I'm going to park on this one. And the Lord said, I want you to encourage the church with it, actually. Because let's jump into the story. I'm not going to read the Easter story to you this morning, but I'm going to use some verses, particularly from the book of Acts, actually, to talk about the power of the resurrection from like almost like a post-cross and resurrection point of view. And so what's happened is that the women have made their way to the tomb on the day after the Sabbath, okay? So we're into the third day here where, you know, Jesus has been taken from the cross. He's been put into the tomb. And they're bringing stuff to anoint the body of Jesus after the crucifixion, spices and stuff like that. Now, after the crucifixion, we do know that Jesus was placed in the tomb of Joseph. And these women are on their way to see him. Now, when they get there, let me go quickly. They're amazed as they stand in front of this tomb. And what they see is that the stone has been rolled away. Now, you know that I love that, okay? The stone is rolled away. That picture of the law being removed from us. And the stone representing the law, and it being just like even in the story of Lazarus, you know, where Jesus, you know, tells him to roll away the stone so that the light of God may go into the darkest place of death and bring forward life. But I'm not talking about that, right? About rolling away the law from your life. But what they're met by angels, these women, and the angels speak to them. And what they say is really interesting to me, because this line really arrested me this week. It says, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? This is Luke 24 verses 5 and 6. He is not here, but he has risen. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. I love this. What we see here is that the Lord actually this morning wants to redirect our attention from the cross to the resurrection. You know, we reflect and we think about the death of Jesus on the cross. And it's not about hitting stop and pausing there. We reflect on what happens. But on Easter Sunday, what happens is our focus starts to change. Not that we forget the cross in any way, because we keep the cross as the centerpiece of the work of Jesus. But we start to think and we start to move from cross to resurrection. You know, as believers, we love the cross, don't we? We love thinking about it. And rightly so. It's a symbol and it's a proof of God's love for our sin. Our love for us and to take away our sin and our rebellion. And so we rightly this morning make our boast in the cross. But this question, why do you look for the living amongst the dead, exposes something that's almost like too true for some of us. Sometimes we forget, you know, like these Sunday morning mourners did, that there's something completely magnificent beyond the cross that actually gives the cross its glory, and that's the resurrection. You know, so if we get stuck on the cross without going on to resurrection, then what will happen is our faith will actually be stuck. We'll be stuck in the tragedy and we'll miss out on the triumph. But the resurrection, what it does is that it adds triumph to the tragedy, and it shows us that the whole point, all right, off the cross and off the work of Jesus on that day, was that so you and I and everyone else who would accept the Lord could live in resurrection life because of what Jesus had done for us. You and I get to live today. This is the celebration of Easter Sunday. We get to live in the goodness of the cross, and we get to do that because of resurrection. Only a short time before, actually, Jesus had said, I have come, he says this in John 10, I have come to give you life and to give you life to the fullest. And that is where you and I are now called up to live, in that place. It was not about stopping at the sacrifice, but to live in the goodness of why the sacrifice was made for you and me. And that was for one big reason, and one big reason only, to restore you and I to a place of intimate connection again with the one who made us and the one who loves us. So this question, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead, reminds us today that Jesus rose from the grave. God has raised him up right now. As I'm speaking to you on this Sunday, he is seated at the right hand of his Father in the place of authority and rest. And when we embrace the meaning and the importance of this kind of question that we're looking at this morning, we find ourselves reoriented, I guess, no longer bound by just, you know, the time that we have to live here on earth and the time we you know, count in our days. But we have this expectation this morning that we can look forward to resurrection life, and that resurrection life will never end. Our hope this morning is to see all this stuff. You know, whilst we love our life and it's, you know, our life is good and we live blessed, but this is not just it. Today reminds us that there's something so much greater. You know, these women have to look for Jesus. What the angels are saying is you've got to look for Jesus amongst the resurrected living, because he's not dead anymore. And, you know, you and I, we too look for Jesus in the resurrection that is to come. We live this life like people who will be raised to life again. So do you live with that resurrection view this morning? Do you live with that resurrection life view in you that today reminds you that no matter what is going on for you today, that actually you have a greater hope? There's nothing stronger or greater than Jesus, and he demonstrates it in his work today. Do we actively, I suppose the question I have this morning is, like, do we actively live as though he was raised from the dead? What would it actually look like for us if we did live like that? If we lived in the real power of resurrection life, right? The believers who saw Jesus risen, okay, after this Sunday, I mean, I think the Bible says there's like over 500 people who saw him with their own eyes. They touched him and they touched the wounds, and they saw that this was the one who was on the cross. And do you know what happened from that point? And this made me think about it. Now, they actually saw Jesus physically resurrected. But what happened was the resurrection had such an impact on them that they spent the whole of the rest of their lives talking about it. Now, for sure, they preached crucifixion. They preached that sin had been paid for, because that's obviously the central hinge of this gospel message. But that message of the cross actually was not the most controversial thing that they had to say in their day. The claims that the apostles would go on to make about Jesus' death were so completely, wildly controversial. Okay? And absolutely, they were persecuted because of it. But they were not martyred because of what they said about Jesus' death. You know what they were martyred for? Because of what they said about what happened after he died, because of the resurrection. And what you see in the sermons, particularly in the book of Acts, they're filled with resurrection. They're filled like with time showing over and over what it means for those who follow Jesus to live in resurrection life. Because almost nobody debated that Jesus died. They saw it with their own eyes. But the Jews, and particularly the religious types, they really struggled with resurrection. In fact, they violently and absolutely refused to believe that he rose again just 3 days later, despite the fact that he had told them that he would do it, destroy this temple and I'll rise again in 3 days. The Jews' religion was totally offended by the empty tomb. The largest stumbling block, in fact, was the stone, you know, that was rolled away, and the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus. So today is about remembering just that. Jesus is not dead. And when he rose from the grave, against all of the enemy's lies, against all of the enemy's schemes, we get to celebrate the fact that there was great victory won for you and I. Here we are, over 2,000 years later, and the resurrection still declares God's relentless commitment to win every victory for you today in your life. When I was reading this story this week, I saw actually, and I just want to do this quickly with you this morning, I was reading through it and I thought, I want to live, like when those guys who saw Jesus resurrected, it changed them forever. And I need more of that in my life. I need more of that resurrection life in me so that it changes and shapes me forever, more and more. And when I looked at the story this week again, there are actually 7 victories that we see on Easter Sunday. And they're all for you. Okay? Now, what I love about this is that the number of 7, as you know, is the number of completeness and perfection. So what I'm going to quickly show you here is that the work is whole. What resurrection life and the resurrection work for you is whole and it's complete. Now, let me remind you very quickly of the completeness of the victory that you have today because of the grace and the favor of Jesus. All right, I'll go through them quickly, but it's just this perfect, complete picture. Number one, okay, is we know today that he has defeated death. See, the enemy, our enemy, conspired with Judas. He conspired with Pilate. He conspired with the Jewish leaders to kill the very author of life. But Acts 3:15 tells us that God raised him from the dead. It says, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it, it says in Acts 2. Now, if you believe in Jesus this morning, can I just encourage you? Death can't hold you either. Jesus announced and declared to us, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's John 11. So Jesus today rose to prove that the greatest enemy, death itself, was completely defeated. Until he had done that, right? It was almost like death seemed to swallow up every ounce of life, right? And every bit of hope. Now, generation after generation after generation, the greatest enemy of death, it actually, you know, even in Romans 6, it says, the wages of sin is death. In Romans 3, it says, none in righteous, no, not one. You know, so there was always this kind of fear of the finality of the end of life. You know, how could people with no hope of reaching God or no hope of being right with God have any hope of escaping death? You know, but here's what we know. God himself had promised everlasting life centuries before Jesus came. But in the resurrection today, the resurrection revealed that it was certain. It was absolutely certain for those who he has chosen, those who he has redeemed, those who he has adopted as his sons and daughters, it was certain that death would lose its sting. You know, many people did live and believe and actually died before Jesus, okay, was what's called the firstborn, Colossians 1 said, the firstborn from the dead. Now, what that means is, if there is a first, it means that there are lots to follow. So remember that, even though Jesus, you know, as the firstborn from amongst the dead, means that even though he is the first to rise from death and to conquer death, it means that we then come as the many behind him. And even though death stands as our greatest enemy, in one day, in one morning, Jesus defeats our greatest enemy so that there's nothing else standing that is more powerful than Jesus in you today. So whatever you're going through, okay, it's nothing is more powerful or final than death. But Jesus announces today that he is more powerful than that in you. Isn't that brilliant? Secondly, God says this, that the second victory of Resurrection Sunday is the fact that God has purchased every promise for you. When Jesus rose, he rose to prove every Old Testament promise and prophecy that had been given by God over the generations. God's promises to you and to me have always been the only lifeline of hope that we've ever really had. You know, particularly for, if you think about it, for the generations, those who have been living under this kind of supreme penalty of the law, okay, had no hope. There was promise that they could never walk into because they were never good enough. But the resurrection brought those promises into like really full and full high definition, if you like, into full view. Where the law made a demand that had to be filled, Jesus just did that. And now in resurrecting, what he's done is he has purchased every promise that is yours. Every demand of the law was fulfilled. Jesus doesn't do away with the law, he fulfills it and he conquers it. So today, on this Sunday, you know what? You can read every promise in the Word and you can say with absolute confidence, yes, Lord, I receive it. Every promise of God's goodness, every promise of God's favor, every promise of God's healing, every promise of God's protection, every promise of God's provision for you, every promise of future, every promise of hope, today finds its validity in the resurrection of Jesus. So what can you do? You can just say, Lord, I receive it. Every promise has been bought for me, not because of what I have done, but because today you proved that in your obedience, in your perfect way that you kept every demand of the law for my benefit, I stand here today in one sense guilty, but actually bigger than that, completely innocent. And so every promise that comes as a result of obedience is mine because that's your gift. Now that's unmerited favor, isn't it? I just think that is fantastic. Actually, Acts 10 says this, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So simply at times, the promises of God in our life just seem way too good to be true. Until you see God raise his son from the dead. And suddenly, everything that seemed completely impossible to man in our own effort actually is wonderfully possible and guaranteed by God himself. Isn't that good news? Number three, God has judged every sin and declared you righteous. That's the third victory of resurrection life. Jesus rose today to prove that he, in one sense, he rose to prove that he would judge all sin. Okay, so every sin we have committed and every sin that was committed against us kind of raises a question. Will justice prevail? So will there be justice for me for those who have sinned against me? But will I have to face justice for the sin that I have committed? Will all but just be wiped away, or will I continually live under judgment and condemnation? Now, Jesus made it clear that every sin would be punished. And for you and I this morning, it's not our punishment, it was his punishment on the cross. Okay, so for everyone who repents, everyone who turns, everyone who gives their lives to the Lord, and you know what? In that moment, all of our sin on that cross dealt with and conquered by resurrection life today. If you don't do that, there's judgment. That's what the word says. If you refuse that, there's actually judgment for sin. But when God raised Jesus from the dead, his declaration was on three levels. Now listen to me this morning. Okay, on three levels he says this. Okay, who you are, and then what you did as a result of who you are, and the consequences that flowed from who you are and what you did, would all be covered by Jesus and his work. And you instead would be declared absolutely acceptable, righteous to him. So the resurrection validates righteousness. That's what it does. No longer are you condemned as a guilty man or woman this morning. But instead, if you remember in every moment that he took your place, and that hit the validity of him doing that was because he actually took it on himself and rose again, okay? If you're alive in Christ this morning, if you remember this, then there is no condemnation for you, Romans 8 tells us. And no sin against you, okay? On the other side of it, will be overlooked or excused by God. Where people have sinned against you, the Lord says he will repay you for everything that is stolen. I want to come on to that. Isn't that, now that is really good news as well. Number four, God will restore everything that is wrong or broken in your life. This is the fourth victory of resurrection life. You know, if you look at Peter, particularly in the book of Acts, he calls his fellow Jews. So Peter had a ministry to the Jews, right? And he has this ministry to call the Jews back to repentance, back to Jesus. And so he actually says, you can read, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, and what times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. That's Acts 3:19. Now, Jesus today we celebrate rose to prove that he would eventually return and make all things right. I think if you look at this last year of the craziness of 2020 and all the stuff that we've walked through, don't need to rehearse it, but it provides another year of evidence of just how broken this flipping world is and how it just continues to break. And actually, in the middle of that, do you know what is important about today? This Easter is another statement that our hope is as alive today as Jesus is, even in the middle of it all. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. And over somebody today, you need to know on Resurrection Sunday, that is the promise of God to you. That's a great promise as you're listening to me, right? For not just where you have are living in now, but also to give you greater hope for the future. You can be sure that there will be, if you will receive it, that there will be nothing that has been stolen from you. Okay? No promise, no inheritance that somebody tried to step into your life to thwart the goodness of God. And it may seem like on a temporary basis that might have happened, but Resurrection Sunday reminds us that actually he says that he will repay, break everything that was, stands against you and was stolen from you. Now, in one sense, do we see all of that right now in this moment? Well, I believe actually you can walk into it. I believe in faith, you can walk into your best days. I absolutely believe that. But as well, you know, there's this sense today that, you know, we get the sort of step with those women beside an empty tomb and remember that one day we have this great hope that all the challenge and everything that we have here is not all that there is. Our home is heaven. Our home is the presence of Jesus, where there is no more pain, suffering, crying, tears, upset, or whatever. That's our greater hope. But until we get there, don't just sit back. Don't today just go, oh yes, Lord, it's great. Don't do that. Where you have been stolen from, where you have been taken from, where people took advantage of you, you don't need to rain down like Elijah style the fire from heaven to burn them up. Simply today say, Lord, this Resurrection Sunday proves to me and validates for me that you will pay me back for everything that was stolen from me. Lord, you said in quantity and in quality, when you pour into my life, I have a promise that I will walk into greater favor. Now, let me go very quick. In Number five, yeah, every bondage is broken today. The cross, the fifth victory of Resurrection Sunday is that every bondage is broken and you can live in true freedom. You know, remember when Peter healed a man who was lame from birth and he invites him to finally walk after all those years of not being able to walk, and he does it in the name of Jesus? Well, the priests came to arrest Peter and John, and it says actually they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's Acts 4. So what happens, like, that they arrest Peter and they take him away, and when he's in custody and under trial, he makes this mad, bold declaration, which I think is fantastic. Let me just read it. He says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved." Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. So Jesus today rises on Resurrection Sunday to prove to you, to show you that you really can be saved and delivered from sin, from mess. In one sense, you know, some of us think, you know, why is that important? Well, some of us think that this is just like the way that it's going to be. This is the way that our life is, and it's not going to be ever any different. But can I tell you this morning, your best days are in front of you. Resurrection says that no matter how dark it gets, your best days are in front of you, because he always triumphs, even over death itself. And so everything else compared to death is an easy one, to be quite honest. And in one sense, we don't deserve this deliverance, this salvation. And what is absolutely sure is we could never achieve it in our own strength. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, hope would have been dead with him, next to him in the grave. But he's not dead. And therefore, hope is not dead. And we have a confident expectation of goodness and favor and healing and health and wholeness and completeness. Why? Because let me say it over you, every single bondage, every single lie, every single work of the enemy, every single word spoken over you by whoever, every bit of bondage that broke in, has been on your life, is broken today in Jesus' name. Why? Because when Jesus rose, he canceled every debt against you. He canceled every outstanding warrant in your name. He nailed it to the cross and he set you free. Now, Paul preaches about the resurrection in Acts 13, 36. He says, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything." Listen to me. This is Paul writing. Everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Isn't that awesome? So in Jesus' name, I speak that over you today, that you are free by through grace from everything that your own effort and self-work and trying could never do. Number six, the sixth victory of Resurrection Sunday. And this is brilliant. Nobody's excluded it, because today what we see is God will not just rescue you, but he's going to rescue people from all over. I love this, and sometimes under grace, we don't want to get too selfish with the message of God's grace. We want to share it and see the world transformed by grace. Now, Jesus was, remember, Jesus was the promised Messiah of Israel. Okay, so Israel was waiting for their Messiah, but he did not die and rise again just for ethnic Israel. That was not the point. It was for God so loved the world. Paul preaches again. He says, "I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light," listen, "both to our people," that's the Jews, "and to the Gentiles," everybody else. Okay, that's Acts 26. So what does that mean for you today? Well, Jesus on Resurrection Sunday rises to prove that God had chosen people from everywhere. Okay, not just Israel, but from the whole world. So let me dial that down to where you and I are at today. It means that you're not excluded. That's the point. Nobody is excluded from the resurrection life that we're celebrating today. You're not left out. You might have felt at times that you're left out. You might have felt at times like you're not as good. You might have felt at times like it's for the special people or for the more clever ones or whatever it happened to be. But can I tell you today, it does not matter one bit where you have come from, where you feel like you belong to, what you have done, who you did it with, okay? There is nothing in your life, in your history, in your heritage that excludes you from the full, unfettered favor of Jesus. You're not on the outside. His death, okay, not only reconciles you to God, but it reconciles us all to each other. Across every conceivable barrier and boundary, grace smashes them all, puts us all on the same footing to go, you know, I think this is a message that even this week we need to hear in this country, don't we? You know, when we look at barriers and boundaries and fighting and getting on, we need to hear this. And the resurrection is powerful enough to hold out hope to people no matter who they are, because the promise of resurrection is it's for everyone, not for the special ones or not for the ones who think that they're better than anyone else. So you're not excluded. Lastly, I need to go quick, and this is completeness and perfection. And the last promise of resurrection life on this Easter Sunday is that no evil can disrupt God's plan for you today. No evil can do that. The death of Jesus in one moment looked like the single greatest defeat that God's people had ever experienced. Instead of, like, as they imagined him ascending to the, they probably thought he's going to ascend to the throne here, he's going to conquer the Romans, all the enemies, this promised king, right, is just going to do a number here. But actually what happened is, you know, he was humiliated and he was crucified. And they must have thought, what on earth? But at the precise moment, listen to me, when it looked like evil had won, God was working and accomplishing his greatest victory. It's what he's doing in your life. If you feel like you're at the point where actually everything other than God's going to win, in that moment when it looked like it was the worst, God was actually working and accomplishing his greatest work. Peter actually preaches this to the Jewish officials in Acts chapter 2. It says, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, remember, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. So Jesus rises to prove that God is over everything, even the worst evil in the world. He's not subject to it. He's greater than it. And almost like in the ultimate act of rebellion and injustice, God, in that moment, when it looked like all was lost, God was pivoting all of history. And he was pivoting all of history with his love to save and to satisfy us as people. And by raising his son, Jesus, from the dead on Easter Sunday, he promised to work all things, including the hard things, including the painful things, including the difficult things. He promised to work all of those things in your life for your good. You'll never walk through anything that God will not be able to turn for your good. And so what I'm going to just, on that point, just let me finish it. You know, don't be worrying about what they're going to do or what they say or what they think. That if you simply come to the Lord today and receive and say, Jesus, you know, on this Easter Sunday, your victory for me was that no plan made against me will successfully stand against me, because you're greater still than I just, all I have to do is receive. So let me go quick, okay? I hope you're encouraged this Easter. I hope that's good. The seven victories of Resurrection Sunday, isn't it awesome? That's why Easter Sunday is all about completeness. Now, what can you do today? Well, all you can do today, as you've listened to me, I hope your heart has been stirred. I hope your heart has been encouraged. And do you know what your simple response to the Lord is? Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for grace upon grace in my life. Thank you for your favor and thank you for your work. Lord, I have no other thing that I need to do other than to say, I receive it and say thank you for every bit of your work, Lord. And today, Father, I pray, as people are even listening and there's been things encouraging them, I pray that the word that I've preached this morning, Father, would go into their hearts. I pray that it would bear good fruit. Father, I thank you that there is no guilt or condemnation, that was broken and smashed today, and that you have called us all to resurrection life. And so I pray the completeness and the wholeness of the victory of resurrection over you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.